Hello, pet lovers. A warm tail wag welcome to all of our listeners, and thank you for tuning into our podcast, Did Fido Poop Today? My name is Jennifer Maroney, and I am the owner of Critter Sitters and More. And this podcast is all about the health and care of our pet family.
Today we are sitting here with Sydney Warner. Sydney is the owner of Clever Critters, LLC, and she is a certified dog trainer and canine behavior consultant. Sydney, I know we're going to be talking about excessive barking today, but let's just step back for a minute and explain to people what it means to be a canine behavior consultant.
Absolutely. So in the dog training world, dog training is actually not a regulated field. So it's important to know who you're working with and what their education and experience is, depending on what it is you and your dog need help with. So as a certified dog trainer, I can help with a lot of our basic skills, puppy manners, things like that. As a behavior consultant, my team and I actually focus more on what would be considered concerning behaviors or distressed behaviors. So that could be things like general anxiety disorder, separation anxiety, reactivity due to fear or excitement, aggression concerns, and the list goes on and on and on. So in that scenario, or in that case, as a canine behavior consultant, our focus is more the emotional needs of the dog in order to change the behavior if it's realistic to change certain behaviors.
And one of those behaviors could be barking.
Absolutely.
I also just want to point out to our listeners, you have eloquently told us that dog training is really not a regulated industry. And in fact, as the years that I have been a pet sitter, I have met lots of different dog trainers with lots of different training styles. And some of them, you're talking to them and you realize they've had absolutely no they've taken no courses, even though it's not like regulated industry. There are a lot of fields of thought out there, and there are a lot of courses that they can take.
Absolutely.
And you've got a lot of initials behind your name.
I do.
So one of the things, I just want to point out a couple of them so that people know that, what you share with your clients and the tips that you have so graciously provided my team of professional pet sitters aren't just things that you're making up and pulling out of your pocket because that's what you like. So first of all, you have a bachelor's of science in psychology. So in addition to some of the behavior trainings and dog training courses that you've taken through colleges that focus on that, you've gone to a local college. Which one was it again? Remind me.
It was actually Old Dominion University.
Old Dominion. So you went to Old Dominion and you studied psychology there. How do you feel that prepared you for being in the world of dog training?
Yeah. So having that education in psychology and that background, one of the really important things that we learn is that all beings learn through the same basic learning processes. So a lot of what we apply to our dogs are similar things that we can think about for human health. Most of my courses were with ODU focused on like human-related psychology. However, in the science field, a lot of what we have to do is extrapolate some of this information and apply it based on certain species, because there's not necessarily a ton of research on the species you're looking for. So that was kind of a fun thing that I was doing in the background while getting my psychology degree because my focus was more on the animal side of it. But it helped me a lot. Some of my classes focused on like sensory systems, mental health disorders, which dogs actually share a decent amount of mental health disorders that we have as well. Health is a huge one. I took psychology of health. How we physically feel plays a huge part in how we behave. Same with our dogs. So that psychology background and being able to take those courses and really extrapolate it to the dogs that I'm working with has been a huge, huge help because, again, my focus is emotionally what is going on with the dog? What is the well-being? Why are we seeing these behaviors, not just fix the behaviors?
And then some of these other initials, which I'm not as familiar with, but I, you know, American behavior. Go ahead, tell us some of the training you've done.
Animal Behavior College dog trainer.
Okay.
And I actually am a mentor for that program. I have a student currently going through their externship. So
Fantastic.
that's fun that I get to influence kind of the next generation. I have a diploma from the Companion Animal Science Institute. That is actually my canine behavior consulting certification. I have a certification through the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. Currently, as an accredited dog trainer, they do have a consultant certification as well, which is something I will be working on within the next few months, just to add again another layer of knowledge from another source. Probably one of the last really big ones that I have is a fear-free certified professional. So I am certified as a dog trainer through the Fear-Free organization. I'm currently also going through Fear-Free's veterinary program because I work so closely with the veterinary field as well.
Well, excellent. So I, you know, all this circulates around that. Even though it's, you know, not a strongly regulated industry, that dog training, and quite honestly, pet sitting isn't either. The point of all of this is, you know, I love working with Sydney, and I'm comfortable referring her out, her and her company and her trainers, because they're willing to go the extra mile to make sure that, you know, really, in my mind, you know, do no harm
Absolutely.
in dog training. And, you know, again, that psychology background, it's just fascinating because, you know, being able to get into that underlying, you know, what is happening that is causing that dog to bark and bark excessively, and maybe not just bark, but charge the windows,
Oh.
or, you know, charge the doors, or tear up the blinds because that, you know, something is happening, or, you know, the stress of the 2 a.m. The barking. And so, you know, just telling the dog to shut up, to be quiet, you know, shoving them into their kennel isn't going to help. So I think that goes back to, you know, let's get to that underlying question is, what are our dogs trying to say to us when they're barking? Because it's their form of communication. And just like a child would come up crying to us, we don't want to send them away. We want to understand what's happening and fix it. So what are they telling us when they are barking?
I think you did a good job of kind of picking up on some of the nuances. There's a lot of reasons why dogs bark. When someone comes to me and says my dog is barking, that's not enough information for me. I have to gather so much more to understand why is this behavior happening. So that's going to really depend a lot on the context. Sometimes that could be breed specific. That could be learning history of that individual dog. It could be the current situations that they're in. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Some of the different types of behaviors or some of the different types of barking that we might see or work with could be a dog is barking because they're fearful of a person or a dog or an object, and that fearful barking is not going to go away if we punish it, or at least the emotion for why that barking is happening is not going to go away. There's excited barking, the dog that wants to go meet everybody and they're at the end of their leash barking and saying, come say hi. Separation anxiety, barking, howling, lots of vocalizations can be a part of separation anxiety. And then the two that I tend to think about the most when I'm dealing with barking scenarios would be, is my dog security seeking, or in other words, comfort seeking? Something's happening. My dog needs my attention. They need to alert me to something that they need. And that could be a wide variety of things as well. But if I ignore that, it's not helping my dog. We also have alarm barking. So, our livestock guardian dogs are a big alarm barking dogs. It's just part of who they are. But medical can also play a part in barking. Some dogs who develop dementia may increase barking as they continue to get older and the dementia gets worse. So there's no one way for me to say, yeah, let's fix barking, because there's so many different reasons.
So I think that how do we determine what is the cause? Okay, so and let's just go back to one of the first things that I was saying, that my dog is rushing the window and barking. Or you have a dog that is like you said, maybe outside at you're taking a walk and they start to rush towards the people or the other dogs. On their leash and they're barking. For me, it's like, wow, is the dog barking because in two scenarios, are they barking because they're very happy about what's going on? They just want to meet that person on the other side, at the other end of the leash or beyond the leash? Or is it that they are suddenly now trying to defend their area? And their goal is to make somebody move away from them,
Absolutely.
and then the health reasons. So what are the first steps to determining what is causing the barking?
Yeah, so a lot of what we have to kind of discuss with our clients to determine what's going on, focus on. What else is the dog telling us? What does the rest of their body language tell us? And unfortunately, body language is not something that the average pet parent learns. Like, we're not taught it. So understanding dog body language can be very difficult for some owners to think about, or some caregivers to think about. They know their dog best. They're picking up on some of those things, and that's where we have to kind of ask without guiding to answers. Like, what else is the head doing? What else is the body doing? Is the dog shifted forward or backward? Is the dog moving away? Do they bark and then move away? What is the tail doing? A wagging tail still means that a dog could be fearful. A wagging tail is not necessarily a happy dog. So we're looking a lot at the different body parts and the different things that our dog is telling us through the body language. In addition to that, we are asking what's going on in the environment. So what appears to be the trigger? What is happening right before the barking happens? So, learning more about the dog and their communication and the environment or the context in which the behavior is happening is going to help us narrow down more. Why is that barking actually happening?
And I've taken a couple of classes on body language. I've worked with you some. I also did the Fear Free program for pet sitters. And it's even with the education that I've had, it still is, it's just a drop in the bucket to
Oh,
truly
yeah.
understanding. And each dog is different, and you know, reacts out of fear or stress or even happiness differently.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to, you know, take, you know, one or two classes and fully understand is,
Yeah. It is like learning another language, and you have to use it. You have to continue to learn it.
So, talk to us a little bit about the process of understanding the different barks, and then, you know, what we may do to, you know, kind of start to curb some of that behavior.
Yeah, so when I'm dealing with barking as a complaint, some of the first things that we have to discuss with our clients or the caregiver is barking is a normal dog behavior, and some dogs are more vocal than others. So making sure that we are setting realistic expectations for our client, the goal is never to stop the dog from barking completely, because barking is information for us. There is no such thing as good or bad behavior. Behavior is a function. Our dog is using behavior in order to gain access to something they want or avoid something that is unpleasant. So, setting those realistic expectations, knowing that barking is a normal dog behavior, that's going to be a huge first step to make sure, okay, do we have a good goal, something realistic and attainable for adjusting the barking? Maybe the goal is now to reduce it, or the dog might alarm bark, but it's, you know, that single oof, and they come back to me and check in with me. I will take that over the rah, 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 rah. It's also a lot healthier for the dog to say, "Hey, mom, there's a thing there that makes me uncomfortable," and check in. And I go, "Yeah, yep, I understand. But guess what? Good things happen, and I appreciate you checking in with me, and I can handle it from there." Lots and lots of information and communication. Probably the biggest thing with trying to change barking is the management. So, management is going to be our prevention of that undesirable behavior or of that barking behavior. But management is also prevention of why the dog is barking. If I have a dog who's barking because of separation or isolation anxiety, our management needs to look at, okay, how do I help the dog be more comfortable home alone? Or what is my management in the meantime to make sure my dog isn't alone or is only alone for certain amounts of time that they can handle? And then the barking doesn't even have to happen because we're staying within the dog's comfort zone. They don't have a reason to do that barking. If we decide to use some of those outdated methods that focus more on stopping the barking, I can't lie. Punishment will stop barking. The issue becomes now we're suppressing behaviors. We're not addressing the underlying cause. We might actually create a much bigger issue later on. So really focusing on a more proactive and preventative approach is going to be a lot better than reacting to the barking and telling your dog, "Nope, that's not good. You need to stop." So, for example, when I'm working with that dog that's out on a leash, whether they're excited barking or fearful barking, one of the first exercises that I teach is a game called Look at That, which is a pattern game by Leslie McDevitt of Controlled Unleashed. And that is a really simple game that psychology uses classical counter conditioning. So the presence of that thing that triggers my dog to bark is now going to predict my dog getting hot dog, chicken, whatever, you know, that favorite really awesome, delicious treat is. And my dog goes, "Wait a second. You mean that thing produces chicken and hot dogs? And it's going to take repetition. It's going to take a little bit of time. We want to make sure that we're not putting the dog in a situation to cause them to bark. But I can use a lot of positive reinforcement to teach my dog, you don't need to be worried about that. Or we don't need to go see that person right this moment. If you can check in with me, good stuff still happens, and then we can figure out what do we do about that thing.
Wow. So redirecting through treating is what I'm hearing.
It's working on an association. So
Okay.
it does, in a sense, work on some redirection, but I am the timing and the way that I am pairing those should be done in a way that the dog is still aware that the thing is there. They're not being totally distracted, like, oh, don't look at that. Don't look at that. Here's all these treats. I want my dog to be aware of it because that's the only way we're going to be able to work through the next time I see it, the next time I'm aware of it. It's okay.
Now, one of the things that I've had people ask is, well, or say to me is, well, we don't want to give our dog treats because now it's going to teach them, to do that bad behavior more for the treat. So like, won't it teach them to bark more if they're barking and I'm treating them to try to create a good association?
So here is a fun little fact. We can't reinforce an emotion. If my dog is anxious or afraid or is worried about that thing, I can't reinforce the barking because my dog's brain is focused on survival mode. That thing is scary. What food will do in that situation is help me gauge, can my dog recover? Can my dog refocus on me? Can I get their brain back into a ideal learning zone versus that fight or flight mode? And then if they're able to do that, again, our look at that game, those things predict food for me. And your dog is going to start to go, hey, I see that thing and check in with you. They might start bypassing the barking altogether because the fastest way to get the treat is to see it and immediately look back at you. So we may essentially resolve the barking concern simply by treating for the thing being present. Even if we can't totally resolve the barking, again, a reduction in the barking, it's less intense. It doesn't last as long. It's not as, loud or scary. Those are still progress. Those are still really good steps in the right direction. And again, some dogs are going to bark.
Yes, they are. So, particularly when they are startled out of their sleep at 11 o'clock at
Absolutely.
night. So
Yeah.
that's when my Abby likes to get her barking in. So, and I know it's just because she's been startled. So,
Absolutely. And
yeah.
we're never going to change a startle response. If
Yeah.
my dog barks because they're startled, I just need to adjust to make sure that I'm reducing how often she's startled. If it's something
Right.
I can control, okay, I get rid of the barking by not startling the dog.
Oh, thank you so much. I hadn't really thought about it being tied into an emotion, and what we are trying to do is just level down the intensity of that emotion by finding a way to calm them and check in with you. Well, that's a wonderful way to look at it. And I'm excited to use those tips, and going, this is what we're looking for, and call Sydney because she'll be able to work you through
Yes, absolutely.
it.
That is one thing I will say. When you are working through a behavior concern, fear, stress, anxiety, hyperarousal, whatever, It really, really is a good idea to get the professional involved. That's why we're here.
Any other thoughts that you would like to leave us with before we wrap things up this afternoon?
Not that I can think of. I would really love to talk more about really any topic. There's so much knowledge that I have, and education is one of my favorite parts of my job. So there's always more that I can cover. And being human, if a trainer tells you that they know it all, please run. I definitely don't know it all, but I will tell you I don't know it, and then I'll go find the information with you. So please be aware. I don't know all the answers, but I know what I know, and I know what I don't know.
Well, thank you so much. So, if anybody who's listening has a topic that they would like to hear us chat about in the future, feel free to comment on this post, or you can email Sydney at clever-critters.com. And I'll make sure that email is typed out in the notes area so people can find it very quickly. You can also find her on the web at clever-critters.com. And we are always really excited to have her share her information that she has taken thousands of hours and thousands of dollars to acquire and provide us with these tips out of the generosity of our hearts. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening in today. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Want more great tips on pet care and other pet resources? Then head on over to our website, www.crittersittersandmore.com. And be sure to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/crittersittersandmore.va Peninsula.